KJAN Sports.
Time for a check of sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Plenty of high school activities around the area last night. In high school golf, the Rolling Hills Conference holding its final golf championships. On the boys' side, it was Exira EHK winning the team title. They shoot a 348, while Glenn Ralston at 362 was second. Ankeny Christian, Cam, and Adair Casey round out the top five. Individually, John Smiley of Adair Casey was the medalist, shooting a 79 and winning a playoff. Brady Hotchkiss of Ankeny Christian also at 79. He was runner-up. Evan Arellano of Glenn Ralston shot 81 for third place. Chance Lauritsen of Exira EHK posted an 81, good for fourth. Brady Frum of Exira EHK with an 83, placing fifth. Also, Jared Hansen of Exira EHK shot 91 for sixth place. Nick Martison for Exira EHK, 93, good for ninth place overall. On the girls' side, only Exira EHK had a full team, so they were the team champions, shooting a 396. Shelby Williams of Cam, though, had the most impressive day. She shot an 81 yesterday, and that was easily the top score on the girls' side. The Cam star winning by 13 strokes over Gabby Snyder of Ankeny Christian, who was second with 94. Kate McAlpin of Exira EHK shot a 96 for third place. Jessica Wood of Exira EHK posted 98 for fourth. Cassie Earlmeyer of Exira EHK shot 99. Good for fifth place. Also, Kara Collins of Exira EHK put up a 103 for seventh. Brooklyn Wendt of Cam shot a 111 for ninth place. Cam's Hannah Ankenbauer shot 114, good for 11th. And Miranda Redlin of Exira EHK shot 115, good for 12th place in yesterday's meet. Also yesterday in high school boys golf, it was Atlantic defeating Clarindo 156-217. Atlantic's Evan Schuler had the medalist award with a 38, winning a playoff over his teammate Sam Markham, who was runner-up with a 38 as well. Also, Harlan won a triangular, winning with a 162. Shenandoah shot 169, Red Oak 185. Ross Martins of Harlan was medalist with a 38 in that meet. Also, Logan Magnolia and Nishnabotna each shot 211 and AHST 226 in a triangular. Dalton Teese of AHST had the low round of 44 in that meet. In girls golf yesterday, Kemper Catholic winning a triangular, shooting a 168. Atlantic had a 176 and Clarinda a 190. Brooke Fletcher of Atlantic was medalist. She shot the low round of 39 last night. Also, Trainer defeated Tri-Center 197-227. Gracie Myers of Trainer had the low round of 46. In tennis yesterday, in boys action, it was Atlantic over Clarinda 6-3, while Denison beat Kemper Catholic 5-4. In girls tennis, it was Clarinda 9-0 over Atlantic. Also in high school soccer last night, in boys action, it was Atlantic shutting out AHST 2-0. Denison beating Underwood 7-3. Creston beat Kemper Catholic 2-1. Nottoway Valley over Clarinda Academy 5-1. Bishop Elon Catholic beating Abraham Lincoln 6-1. In girls soccer last night, Atlantic defeating Creston 1-0 as Jen Hohenberger scored the lone goal in that match. Rianne Kappel gets the assist on that goal and also helped hold Creston to only 4 shots on goal in the match. Kappel had a team-high 15 steals defensively. Also in girls soccer last night, Missouri Valley topping AHST 3-1. Tri-Center beat Riverside 4-2. It was Tri-Center over Nottoway Valley, Adair Casey, West Central Valley by a score of 5-3. Lewis Central beat Glenwood in overtime 3-2. And Bondurant Ferrara 4-0 winner over Carroll in girls soccer last night. Well, the Iowa Speedway in Newton will get $8 million in state taxpayer support over the next 4 years under a proposal that's been approved by the Iowa Senate last night. Senator Bill Dotzler, a Democrat from Waterloo, says the money would help the track prepare to host a Sprint Cup race.
The Sprint Cup is the holy grail of NASCAR racing. It's the big boys and girls race, and it's the one that's the most popular, probably one of the most popular sporting events in America, really.
Well, the Senate proposal would send $2 million in each of the next 4 years to the operators of the Newton track for marketing and infrastructure improvements.
Because you draw huge crowds, we had 60,000 at the nationwide race. They have to put up additional bleachers, there's restroom stuff, there's additional parking. There's a lot of things that need to be done at the track in order to get it really cup ready. And that's what these dollars would be about.
Dotzler admits there's no guarantee the Iowa Speedway will land a Sprint Cup race within the next 4 years.
But the people that are in the know about NASCAR are saying that Iowa's kind of next in line. They're looking to Iowa. But we kind of got to get our ducks in a row before they're going to make that final commitment. And it's a big commitment. And because it's a big-time thing, and it's pretty exciting for Iowa.
Dotzler says the Iowa Speedway owners will invest far more than the state would spend on the track, as getting a big race like this could require an outlay of millions for the rights alone. The proposal to send state tax dollars to the Iowa Speedway was included in a huge bill dealing with a wide variety of taxing, spending, and policy issues that cleared the Iowa Senate last night. No one objected or even mentioned the $8 million for the track during Senate debate, and the governor isn't ruling out the idea. A spokesman for Governor Branstad says he would need to review the legislation in its final form prior to indicating the action he will take. A spokeswoman for Republicans who control the debate agenda in the Iowa House say that the GOP will take a look at the proposal and then make a decision. The Iowa Speedway has permanent seating for 30,000 fans and held its first race in the fall of 2006. The track itself is 7/8 of a mile and was designed by driver Rusty Wallace. Now, Senator Dotzler, by the way, has 8 season tickets to the Iowa Speedway and describes himself as a lifelong racing fan. Several years ago, before the Newton racetrack was built, legislators voted to let the track keep sales tax revenue from sales of tickets and other track merchandise to help finance the construction. The tax plan was extended to developers of a sports complex around the Field of Dreams in Dyersville as well. Well, Joey Logano will run a NASCAR nationwide race in Iowa in June, the night before competing in a Sprint Cup event at Pocono. The Iowa Speedway says Logano will return to its track for the nationwide opener on June 8th. Logano beat Kevin Harvick in a K&N Pro Series race at Iowa in 2007 and led the first competitive lap ever run at the track as a 16-year-old in 2006. Logano says that racing at Iowa and Pocono should be fun and that he's looking to go 2-for-2 for the weekend. Logano is the biggest driver yet committed to Iowa's first nationwide race of the season. The track will host another nationwide race in August, in addition to an IndyCar event and 2 Camping World Truck Series races. Iowa State assistant basketball coach T.J. Otzelberger is leaving the Cyclones for a similar position with Washington. Huskies coach Lorenzo Romar announced Otzelberger's hiring on Tuesday, calling him a tenacious recruiter. The 36-year-old Otzelberger has been with Iowa State since 2006. He was promoted to associate head coach in 2010 under Fred Hoiberg. Though Otzelberger's strength lies with recruiting, he was also responsible for Iowa State's game plans over the past 2 seasons. Otzelberger tells the Associated Press that the move felt like a logical step in what he hopes is his progression to a head coaching job someday. Well, the Final Four's national semifinal games will only be on cable TV the next 2 years. The Saturday doubleheader will air on TBS in 2014 and 2015, with the title game remaining on CBS. Under the 14-year deal that CBS and Turner Sports signed with the NCAA in 2010, CBS and TBS were scheduled to start alternating the broadcasts of the entire Final Four starting in 2016, but Turner had the option to move that up to 2014. Well, the New York Knicks and the Memphis Grizzlies were able to even their conference semifinal series a game apiece last night as the Knicks bounced back from Sunday's loss by dominating the last 15 minutes in a 105-79 win over the visiting Indiana Pacers. Game 3 will be in Indiana on Saturday. The Grizzlies earned a 99-93 win at Oklahoma City as Mike Conley finished with 26 points and Marc Gasol added 24. Thunder forward Kevin Durant came close to a triple-double, contributing 36 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists, but he missed his last 3 shots, including a pair of 3-point attempts, as Oklahoma City lost the home court advantage. Game 3 is Saturday in Memphis. The San Jose Sharks are the first NHL team to advance to the conference semifinals after they completed a 4-game sweep of Vancouver. Patrick Marleau scored a power play goal at 3:18 of overtime to complete the Sharks' 4-3 win over the Canucks. The 7th and 8th seeds in the Eastern Conference quarterfinals are proving that they belong in the playoffs. The number 8 New York Islanders are tied with top-seeded Pittsburgh at 2 games apiece, while the 7th-seeded Ottawa Senators enjoy a 3-1 series lead. John Tavares provided the game winner at 9:49 remaining, while the Isles were netting the last 3 goals in a 6-4 win over the Penguins. Pittsburgh will host Game 5 Thursday. Kyle Turris scored at 2:32 of overtime to give the Senators a 3-2 comeback win over Montreal. The Canadiens carried a 2-0 lead into the third period and were just moments away from tying the series until Turris assisted on Corey Kornacher's goal with 23 seconds left in regulation. Ottawa can close out the series Thursday in Montreal. Chicago's 3-0 win at Minnesota gives the top-seeded Blackhawks a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference quarterfinals. Patrick Sharp scored in each of the first 2 periods before Brian Bickle made it a 3-goal game with 7:14 left. Corey Crawford turned back 25 shots in his second career playoff shutout. The Hawks can close out that series at home on Thursday. In baseball, Travis Wood pitched impressively into the seventh inning to outduel Lance Lynn. Nate Shearholz hit a two-run homer, and the Chicago Cubs snapped the St. Louis Cardinals' six-game winning streak with a 2-1 victory last night. The Cardinals' streak was their longest since an eight-game run in 2010. Wood allowed one run and five hits while striking out eight in 6 2/3 innings for his first win since April 27th. Carlos Marmol relieved Wood with two outs in the seventh and pitched 1 1/3 scoreless innings. In the eighth, he allowed a single to Yadier Molina and walked John Jay before getting out of the inning by picking Molina off between second and third. Lynn was trying to become the National League's first pitcher to win six games. Elsewhere in the National League yesterday, it was Cincinnati over Atlanta 5-4, Arizona beat L.A. 5-3, San Diego 5-1 over Miami, and Philadelphia beat San Francisco 6-2. In the American League, Matt Wieters drove in three runs, including the tiebreaker in the eighth inning, as the Baltimore Orioles beat the Kansas City Royals 4-3 Tuesday night on a soggy Camden Yards field. After blowing a three-run lead, the Orioles went back on top in the eighth as Adam Jones drew a leadoff walk from Tim Collins and advanced when Luke Hoshaver threw wildly to first base on a pickoff attempt. Wieters then lofted an opposite field fly to left that landed just inside the foul line for a double. Elsewhere in the American League, Cleveland beat Oakland 1-0, Minnesota over Boston 6-1, Toronto beat Tampa Bay 6-4, Houston over the LA Angels 7-6. In interleague play last night, Pittsburgh beat Seattle 4-1, the Mets over the White Sox 1-0 in 10 innings. Milwaukee doubled up Texas 6-3, Colorado shut down the New York Yankees 2-0, Detroit at Washington was rained out. In Pacific Coast League play yesterday, it was Colorado Springs beating the Iowa Cubs by a final of 5-0. Omaha at Reno was rained out. St. Louis Cardinals closer Jason Mott had season-ending Tommy John surgery yesterday. Mott tweeted the ligament replacement surgery on his right elbow went well, one day closer to getting back out there than yesterday. He wrote on Twitter that the comment yesterday. The Cardinals announced before their game against the Cubs that they had activated first baseman Matt Adams from the disabled list. Mott was placed on the Cardinals' disabled list March 29th with right elbow soreness. After trying to rehab the injury and play catch, the team decided he should have the elbow ligament replacement procedure. Mott saved 42 games in 2012 with a .275 earned run average. Edward Mujica, who's taken over as the closer for St. Louis, has converted all eight of his chances and has a .208 earned run average. In football news, the Kansas City Chiefs have hired longtime Bears personnel man Chris Ballard to be their director of player personnel. Chiefs general manager John Dorsey announced the move Tuesday. Ballard has spent the past 12 seasons with the Bears, rising from an area scout to serving last season as their director of pro scouting. Among the players he helped draft were running back Matt Forte, cornerback Charles Tillman, and defensive tackle Tommy Harris. Before joining the NFL, Ballard spent seven seasons as an assistant coach at Texas A&M Kingsville, where he helped to tutor current Chiefs assistant defensive backs coach Al Harris. Dorsey said that Ballard is respected around the league and called him a tremendous talent evaluator and a great fit for the staff. And the class of 2013 for the College Football Hall of Fame has been announced, and the 12 players and two coaches include Heisman Trophy winners Danny Werfel of Florida, Ron Dayne of Wisconsin, and Vinny Testaverde of Miami. The other elected players are Tommy Frazier of Nebraska, Ted Brown of North Carolina State, Teddy Bruschi of Arizona, Jerry Gray of Texas, Steve Meilinger of Kentucky, Orlando Pace of Ohio State, Rod Schott of Oklahoma, Percy Snow of Michigan State, and Don Trull of Baylor. The new Hall of Fame coaches are Wayne Harden, who led Navy and Temple, and Bill McCartney of Colorado. That's Check Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.